All glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Ajnati Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurundina Tarinam Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripasindho Bhyavacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandha Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So for the last 2 days we have been discussing topics in connection with Lord Ram. And yesterday we talked about Sri Hanuman. And today we will continue discussing topics in relation to the devotees of Lord Ramachandra. Not specifically Hanuman, although there is so much more to discuss about Hanumanji, but we'll talk about all the other wonderful devotees of Lord Ram who have been described in the Ramayana. And before that we'll also talk about some great devotees of Ram who have lived in more recent times. Although our worshipable deities in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya are Radha Krishna, and the Krishna of Vrindavan is the Krishna we worship, आराध्यो भगवान व्रजेश तनयस्तद्धाम वृंदावनम। एंड येट दिस सिद्धांत और दिस कंक्लूजन इज गिवन टू अस बाय चैतन्य महाप्रभु। देयरफॉर कृष्णा एंड चैतन्य महाप्रभु आर द टू मोस्ट इंपॉर्टेंट डीएटीज फॉर अस इन दिस एज, स्पेशली इन आवर संप्रदाय। बट आवर आचार्यस ऑल्सो डिक्लेयर दैट देर इज अ स्पेशल प्लेस दैट लॉर्ड रामचंद्र ऑल्सो हैज। ऑल्दो द वर्शिपेबल डीएटी इज कृष्णा, बट नेवर द लेस बिकॉज ऑफ द स्पेशल फ्लेवर ऑफ लॉर्ड रामचंद्र, हिज ह्यूमन लाइक पास टाइम्स acquired significance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya his Shadbhuja form, six-armed form, in which two arms bore the bow and arrows of Lord Ramachandra, in two arms he was playing the flute, that is Krishna, and in two arms, in one he was holding his sannyas staff, in the other his pot of a sannyasi, that is of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada has placed Lord Narasimhadev also in a special prominent position. And the reason for that is that in the early days especially, the movement was threatened on many sides by hostile forces. So for the protection of the movement, Srila Prabhupada instituted the worship or the chanting of Lord Narasimhadev's names and his glorification. So we do it every morning and every evening. So Lord Ram certainly has his importance. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went south to travel to so many places of pilgrimage as a sannyasi, he mostly chanted the Hare Krishna Mahamantra as he walked. But he also chanted the other mantras that we were just chanting. Krishna, 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 He. Also he chanted Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam. And also Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava Rakshama. So he also chanted the late names of Lord Ram. He also visited many places of pilgrimage where Lord Ram, Ram's deities were there, or which were connected to Lord Ram's pastimes. Lord Ram's devotional service and a study of his wide variety of devotees shows us that amongst the devotees of Lord Ram were members from different backgrounds and even species of life. What to speak of low-born human beings, so-called low-born human beings, brahmanas and kshatriyas and so on, whether they were men or women, but even other species like monkeys and bears and birds all participated in the devotional service of the Lord in his form of Ramachandra. So we will discuss some examples first from recent times of some great devotees of Lord Ram and move on then to the Valmiki Ramayana. Since we have been speaking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, immediately what comes to mind is the meeting that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had with a great devotee of Lord Ram called Ramadas Vipra. This meeting happened in Madurai, which is in present-day state of Tamil Nadu. It is called a Southern Mathura. And when this Brahman called Ramadas Vipra invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for prasadam, lunch prasadam at his house, Mahaprabhu gladly accepted. However, when he reached Ramdas Vipra's house at noontime, he saw that nothing was prepared. There was no lunch, there were no indications that he was preparing, or about to prepare lunch, everything was empty. And this beautiful narration appears in the Madhya Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I will read Krishnadas Kaviraj's description. The Brahmana who met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invited the Lord to his home. This Brahmana was a great devotee and an authority on Lord Ramachandra. He was always detached from material activities. After bathing in the river Kritamala, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the Brahmana's house to take lunch, but he saw that the food was unprepared because the Brahmana had not cooked it. Seeing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear sir, please tell me, why have you not cooked? It is already noon." The Brahmana replied, "My dear Lord, we are living in the forest." Of course, they were not living in the forest, they were living in the city. But the Brahmana is in a mood now of ecstatic trance. "My dear Lord, we are living in the forest. For the time being, we cannot get all the ingredients for cooking. When Lakshman brings all the vegetables, fruits and roots from the forest, Sita will do the necessary cooking." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied to hear about the Brahmana's method of worship. Perhaps some of us would not have been so satisfied when we are hungry and we go to somebody's house who has invited us for prasadam, and then he tells us that, well, when Lakshman brings the fruits and vegetables and Sita Devi will cook it, then we will eat. We are not going to be very happy to hear that answer. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to hear this answer. Finally, the Brahmana hastily made arrangements for cooking because he came to his external consciousness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his lunch at about 3 o'clock because the Brahmana only started cooking much after noon. But the Brahmana, being very sorrowful, fasted. While the Brahmana was fasting, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, "Why are you fasting? Why are you so unhappy? Why are you so worried?" The Brahmana replied, "I have no reason to live. I shall give up my life by entering either fire or water. My dear sir, Mother Sita is the mother of the universe and the supreme goddess of fortune. She has been touched by the demon Ravana, and I am troubled upon hearing this news. Sir, due to my unhappiness, I cannot continue living. Although my body is burning, my life is not leaving." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, now Mahaprabhu is going to try to pacify this Brahmana, who is lamenting because Ravana had touched Sita and abducted Sita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Please do not think this way any longer. You are a learned Pandita. Why don't you consider the case?" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "Sita Devi, the dearmost wife of the Supreme Lord Ramachandra, certainly has a spiritual form full of bliss. No one can see her with material eyes, for no materialist has such power. To say nothing of touching Mother Sita, a person with material senses cannot even see her. When Ravana kidnapped her, he kidnapped only her material illusory form. As soon as Ravana arrived before Sita, she disappeared. Then, just to cheat Ravana, she sent an illusory material form. Spiritual substance is never within the jurisdiction of the material conception. This is always the verdict of the Vedas and the Puranas." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then assured the Brahmana, "Have faith in my words and do not burden your mind any longer with this misconception." Although the Brahmana was fasting, he had faith in the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and accepted food. In this way, his life was saved. After thus assuring the Brahmana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded further into southern India and finally arrived at Durvashana, where he bathed in the river Kritamala. At Durvashana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Ramachandra, and on the hill known as Mahendra Shaila, he saw Lord Parashuram. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to Setu Bandha or Rameshwar, where he took his bath at the place called Dhanush Tirtha. From there he visited the Rameshwar temple and took rest. There, among the Brahmanas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu listened to the Kurma Purana, wherein is mentioned the chaste woman's narration, that is Sita Devi's narration. Srimati Sita Devi is the mother of the three worlds and the wife of Lord Ramachandra. Among chaste women, she is supreme, and she is the daughter of King Janak. When Ravana came to kidnap Mother Sita and she saw him, she took shelter of the fire god Agni. The fire god covered the body of Mother Sita, and in this way she was protected from the hands of Ravana. Upon hearing from the Kurma Puran how Ravana had kidnapped a false form of Mother Sita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very satisfied. The fire god Agni took away the real Sita and brought her to the place of Parvati, goddess Durga. An illusory form of Mother Sita was then delivered to Ravana, and in this way Ravana was cheated. After Ravana was killed by Lord Ramachandra, Sita Devi was brought before the fire and tested, the famous Agni Pariksha. When the illusory Sita was brought before the fire by Lord Ramachandra, the fire god made the illusory form disappear and delivered the real Sita to Lord Ramachandra. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this story, he was very pleased, and he remembered the words of Ramadas Vipra. Indeed, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these conclusive statements from the Kurma Puran, he felt great happiness. After asking the Brahmana's permission, he took possession of the manuscript leaves of the Kurma Purana. Since the Kurma Purana was very old, the manuscript was also very old. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took possession of the original leaves in order to have direct evidence. The text was copied onto new leaves in order that the Purana be replaced. In earlier days, of course, there was no printing press. So every copy of a book was handwritten onto leaves. And if it had to be duplicated, you had to copy and rewrite the whole text. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to take the original text itself to convince Ramdas Vipra. So he had the text copied, and the copies then were kept with the Brahmanas at Rameshwaram, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the original. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then returned to southern Mathura or Madurai and delivered the original manuscript of the Kurma Puran to Ramdas Vipra. And now two verses are quoted from the Kurma Puran. I will read only the translation. When he was petitioned by Mother Sita, the fire god Agni brought forth an illusory form of Sita, and Ravan, who had 10 heads, kidnapped the false Sita. The original Sita then went to the abode of the fire god. When Lord Ramachandra tested the body of Sita, it was the false illusory Sita that entered the fire. At that time, the fire god brought the original Sita from his abode and delivered her to Lord Ramachandra. Ramdas Vipra was very pleased to receive the original leaf manuscript of the Kurma Purana, and he immediately fell down before the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to cry. After receiving the manuscript, the Brahmana, being very pleased, said, "Sir, you are Lord Ramachandra himself, and have come in the dress of a sannyasi to give me audience. My dear sir, you have delivered me from a very unhappy condition. I request that you take your lunch at my place. Please accept this invitation. Due to my mental distress, I could not give you a very nice lunch the other day. Now by good fortune, you have come again to my home. Saying this, the Brahmana very happily cooked food and a first-class dinner was offered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu satisfied Ramdas Vipra, who was a great devotee of Lord Ram, and he was such that he was completely transported into another dimension, a spiritual dimension, where he used to forget the external reality of this world. A very, very advanced devotee of the Lord, who is constantly absorbed in the pastimes of the Lord, actually enters into those pastimes within his or her mind. And we can see that when the gopis in Vrindavan were talking amongst themselves about Krishna, and in their separation from Krishna, they felt his deep personal presence because they were always talking about him, and they began to enact his pastimes like killing of putana and so on. So this is the way of transcendence. However, one must be careful to note that not everyone who appears to chant the name of the Lord may necessarily be a pure devotee of the Lord. And we shall now narrate another story from Chaitanya Charitamrita about another Ramdas, who was Ramdas Vishwas. And this story pertains to Raghunath Bhatt Goswami's journey from Varanasi to Puri. As he was traveling along the road, he met this Kayastha who was always chanting the name of Lord Ramachandra. He was a minister or a counselor to the king and was considered a very learned pandit. And along the way, he was constantly chanting the names of Lord Ram, and he performed all kinds of menial services for Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. He massaged his legs, he carried his luggage and so on. Raghunath Bhatt Goswami was very, very embarrassed. And he said, "My dear sir, you are such a great scholar. So don't embarrass me by doing all these menial services for me." But Ramdas Vishwas said, no, it is my great fortune and my duty to serve. I am just a low-born fallen Shudra, and you are a great Brahmana, a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, it is my duty to serve you." In this way, being very insistent, Ramdas Vishwas constantly served Raghunath Bhatt while chanting the names of Lord Ramachandra. Finally, when they reached Jagannath Puri, immediately they went for darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. He embraced him and then asked him to go and take darshan of Lord Jagannath. But he seemed to ignore Ramdas Vishwas. He was indifferent. He didn't even acknowledge that he had seen him. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that this was because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, understood that although Ramdas Vishwas was always chanting the names of Lord Ramachandra, but actually within his heart, he was harboring a desire to merge into the impersonal effulgence of the Lord. In other words, Ramdas Vishwas was actually an impersonalist. He was a Mayavadi. But externally, no one would have known. Even Raghunath Bhatt did not recognize him as a Mayavadi, because he was so devotional, apparently, in his characteristics and behavior. So therefore, one needs to see through the eyes of the Shastra. One needs to understand through the words of the great Acharyas about the science of devotional service and the process of identifying the real pure devotees of the Lord. Speaking of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita there is also another incident. When Sri Ramachandra, when it was the day of Vijaya Dashami, Dasera, when Lord Ram killed Ravan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees got into the mood of the Ramayana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally assumed the mood of Hanuman, and all his devotees became monkey soldiers, and they decided to climb the Lanka fort. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his trance of ecstasy, began roaring like a lion, "Where is that rascal Ravana? He has dared to touch Mother Sita, the supreme goddess of fortune. I shall teach him a lesson." And in this way, he carried some sticks as weapons, and they were in that mood of ecstasy. When all the devotees saw Mahaprabhu in this mood, they all chanted, "Jai, Jai, all glories, all glories." So in devotional service, advanced devotees sometimes go into such trances. One devotee about whose trances of devotion I would like to describe today is the great King Kulashekhar. I think all of us have heard his name. He is most well known for which book? The Mukunda Mala Stotra. Srila Prabhupada began personally translating this work. He did not finish it. After the first few verses, he did not have the time to continue the translation. But he had all intentions of completing it. And he often quoted from this book. Especially his favorite verse was, which one? Krishna Tvadiya Pada Pankaja Panjarantam. That famous verse which he also sang as a bhajan many times. So King Kulashekhar lived in South India many thousands of years, some thousands of years ago. He was one of the 12 Alvars who are revered in the Sri Sampradaya of South India as being very, very great saints. These 12 Alvars actually form the foundation for the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. The word Alvar, I believe, in Tamil language means intoxicated. So these Alvars were all God intoxicated. They were always in trance of devotion to the Supreme Lord. King Kulashekhar, although he was a king, he was nevertheless a great devotee. In his works, he has not only glorified the love of the Brajabasis, he has often rendered his poetry sometimes in the mood of the gopis talking to each other, sometimes in the mood of Mother Devaki, sometimes in the mood of Mother Yashoda. In different moods he has written wonderful poetry. He was also a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. Every day he chose for his hearing the Valmiki Ramayana. So one Brahmana guru would come to his room in the palace and would read aloud the Ramayana. And the king would faithfully hear. And when he heard, he would be wrapped in attention and go into ecstasy. One day the reading reached the point when Lord Ramachandra was in Dandakaranya forest. He was there with Mother Sita and his brother Lakshman. Lakshman had just lopped off the nose and the ears of Shurpanakha, who had gone rushing and howling to complain to Ravan. In the meanwhile, before she went, she had gone to complain to her other brothers, Khara and Dushan, who were there in that place. That place was called Janasthan in the Dandakaranya forest. Khara and Dushan and Trishira were half brothers of Ravan, and Shurpanakha was also the sister of Ravan. When she complained, then this Khara, Dushan and others came forward. They sent some Rakshasa soldiers, but they were easily killed by Ram, who was alone. Ram instructed Lakshman that you please keep Sita Devi in the cave here and you stand guard outside the cave. You don't move a step from there. I will personally deal with these Rakshasas when they come to attack. So Ram was alone fighting with these Rakshasas. When the first batch of Rakshasas were killed, then the entire 14,000 of them came. And single-handedly, Sri Ram destroyed all of them within an hour or two. Now this was the episode which was being narrated one day. And the verse said in a poetic form of how beautifully Lord Ram was standing there in a heroic posture, and he was standing all alone facing the 14,000 Rakshasas. So when King Kulashekar heard the mighty hero stands all alone, he suddenly was whipped up into a frenzy. Now he was transported again to a different dimension of reality, the real dimension. And he began roaring, "What? My beloved Lord is all alone and he is faced with 14,000 Rakshasas. What will happen? What a tragedy if something untoward were to happen. I must go there with my sword in hand. Although the Lord is not deprived of his disc and his conch shell, but nevertheless I, his bhakta, must rush to his help." And then he shouted at his generals, "Come on, gather the army, we must march towards Janasthan." The ministers were completely aghast. They didn't know what to say. And King Kulashekar was in no mood to listen. He was like veritable fire. And he was ready with his armor and his weapons, and all the soldiers had no choice but to follow him. And the army sallied forth from his kingdom's capital towards Janasthan. The ministers were now amongst each other, desperately confiding and discussing with each other what to do, what to do. Finally, one of them arrived at a plan. "Let us send another expedition of soldiers on horseback and let them go far ahead of where our king has gone. And let this expedition return in the opposite direction and meet the king at some point on the road. And they should tell the king, 'My dear king, we have just come from Janasthan and Ram has destroyed the Rakshasas.' That may pacify the king." So this group of soldiers did exactly that. From another road, they sped ahead on horseback and returned on the same path but in the opposite direction from where the king was in all his frenzy roaring and going towards Janasthan. And he suddenly met his own soldiers. And they said, "Oh king, we have good news for you. Ram has single-handedly killed those 14,000 Rakshasas. All glories to Lord Ram." And then, when King Kulashekar heard this, he shouted, all glories to Lord Ramachandra." And he somehow or other believed his own soldiers. And being pacified, he said, "Okay, now we shall return. There is no need now for us to go." And they returned to the kingdom. Now the ministers were very, very cautious and they were very nervous every time some reading of the Ramayana would take place. And every time there was some particular episode being discussed, there would be a festival in the city. Actually, what a nice culture it was. The deity of Lord Ram and Sita would be taken out on a palanquin, like we are going to do tomorrow, with the deities of the lordships, our temple deities. And a grand festival would take place for all the citizens. There would be much chanting of the holy names, much drama and dance and music in glorification of the Lord. And after the procession was over, then all the Vaishnavas would be sumptuously fed with prasadam, and the king would give charity copiously to all the needy ones. This was a daily affair. The king hardly had any time for his management and administration of the kingdom. One day, the particular Brahmana guru who used to recite the Ramayana had to go out of town on some urgent personal business. This guru, a brahmana, had been very cautious when he was reading the Ramayana before the king, that he would only recite those portions in which Lord Ram was very happy or some nice thing was going on. He was very careful to either slip completely past by some elements where there was distress, or he would just skip through them very fast. But one day when this brahmana went out of town, he sent his son in his place to read the Ramayana. The son, fortunately or unfortunately, did not know about the ecstatic trances of King Kulashekhar. And finally, in the course of the reading, the episode of Lord Ramchandra's wife, Sita Devi, being abducted by Ravana and being taken to Lanka came up. And suddenly, again, King Kulashekhar was enraged. And he stood up in great anger, again roaring, that evil wretch Ravana, he has dared to touch the goddess of fortune, the mother of the universe, Sita Devi. I shall go immediately with my armies and burn Lanka to ashes and destroy Ravana with all his relatives and soldiers. And then he called the generals, come on. And all the generals were sitting there afraid what to do now. And the ministers also could not say a word. They were too afraid. Just looking at the fierce aspect of the king, they just could not say anything. And the king meanwhile was in his own world. And the soldiers perforce had to follow him. And with all fanfare the army started moving. And he started moving, glorifying Lord Ramachandra as he was walking. And he reached the seashore. And he said, onwards towards Lanka, and he started moving into the water. He walked into the ocean. The water was rising and rising and rising. Finally, it was up to his neck, and he was still going on rising forcefully onward to Lanka. And the ministers had given up all hope by now. Those of them who were still conscious had given up hope. In the meanwhile, of course, it is said that Lord Ramachandra along with Sita Devi was watching this. They are omniscient, they know everything. So they said, something must be done for our devotee. So they walked on the sea and came in the opposite direction, as if coming from Lanka. And Sita Devi was holding on to Sri Ramachandra's elbow or hand, and Ram was leading her. And then he came to where King Kulashekhar was, and he said, oh, my dear devotee, O king, now no more need for you to go. I have personally killed Ravan, and I have rescued Sita Devi here. So do not worry. Your work has been preempted. Now, let me take you across the water back to the shore, just as I do to the jivas of this world over the bigger and deeper ocean of samsara. Let me lift you and take you across. So Lord Ram lifted Kulashekhar and took him to the shore and walked along with him all the way to the boundaries of the city and then disappeared. And then King Kulashekhar came back. Meanwhile, the ministers were now a really anxious lot. And they schemed and plotted, and they came to the conclusion that the reason for our king's eccentric and odd behavior, because they didn't understand the ways of devotional service. So they thought it was eccentric and odd. They thought the king had gone mad or something. So they said, we can now understand what the cause is. The cause is all these Vaishnavas who always come here and talk about the Lord, and this way our king has completely got spoilt by this discussion. So anyway, there are many more wonderful stories, but not in connection to Lord Ram here. So we can understand from King Kulashekhar's experience, from his story, how great a devotee he was and how he was transported into that different world of the spiritual world. Another story that comes to mind is a real story from South India. It is from the state of Andhra Pradesh, where there was a great devotee called Ram Das also, and he hailed from a place called Bhadrachalam. Those who hail from Andhra Pradesh must have heard about this from their childhood. I do not speak Telugu or understand the language, but I had couple of times had the poems of this Ramdas of Bhadrachalam translated roughly, and they are very, very devotional poems, full of nectar. And he is revered by the saints of the Sri Sampradaya. So Bhadra was a devotee of the Lord, and somehow he obtained the benediction that he would be a mountain and the Lord would reside on his head, that is on top of the mountain. So it is called Bhadragiri or Bhadrachalam. Achala means an immovable object, a mountain. So that's why the city today is called also Bhadrachalam. And there is a beautiful temple of Lord Ramachandra, Sita Ram, on top of that. At that time, this Ramdas was a tehsildar, or he was one of the officers of the Muslim Nawab. And his business or his duty to the king was to collect revenue from the subjects and deposit it with the king. So he was also a great devotee of Lord Ram, as his name indicates. He collected 6 lakhs of rupees, which were supposed to be taxes meant to be deposited with the king. But he took that money and he built a wonderful temple for Lord Ram and Sita on the hill. And he also had fashioned many, many expensive and beautiful ornaments of gold and diamonds and precious stones for their lordships, and also had nice dresses and so on made for them. So when the Nawab, the Muslim king, heard this, he immediately arrested Ramdas and put him in jail. And he was in jail for a couple of years. When put in jail, Ramdas, who had his own little bhava and relationship with Lord Ram, he started composing some poetry in his native tongue. Each of them is a gem in itself, but some of the things are where he says, "Oh my dear Ram, I offered this wonderful ornament of gold to you. Who do you think gave me money for it? Do you think your father Dashrath Maharaj gave me the money to make this ornament? And what about this girdle of gold, this belt of gold that I offered to your wife Sita Devi? Where do you think I got the money from? Do you think that her father Janak Maharaj gave me that money?" In this way he was admonishing Lord Ram that I served you, I used all these things for your service, and what have you done? You have put me in the jail. In this way he spent some years in the jail. One time, personally, Lord Ram went before the Nawab and returned the 6 lakhs of rupees to him. The Nawab did not know the identity of the person, of course. He accepted the 6 lakhs and he discharged Ramdas from the jail. When Ramdas heard that someone had come and paid 6 lakhs and he heard the description of the person, he immediately understood that the Lord had personally come to discharge his debt to the Nawab. And then he composed another poem in which he admonished the Lord, "My dear Lord, I do not understand your ways. Who is a devotee, me or the Sultan? I have worked for you, I served you, and what did you do? You put me in jail, and you gave your darshan not to me but to the Sultan, to this Nawab." So in this way, his poems are very, very beautiful. So this is the tradition of Vedic culture. We have so many such great devotees, some unheard, some heard of. The tradition of this land is very, very beautiful. And the path of devotion has its own ecstatic ways, which only those initiated in the path can understand. The people of this world always think such devotees to be mad or crazy, like the ministers of Kulushekhar did for Lord Ramachandra, for King Kulushekhar. So Bhadrachalam is well known for Ramdas. So these are some of the devotees in recent times. Coming now to Valmiki Ramayana and the great devotees mentioned therein, there are so many devotees mentioned in the Ramayana. And amongst them, we discussed yesterday the story of Hanuman. Hanuman, as we discussed, is not an ordinary monkey. He was personally the son of the wind god Vayu. And all the other so-called monkeys and bears were also not ordinary monkeys and bears. As we know, when the Supreme Lord is about to advent onto the earth planet, He also requests His devotees from the higher planets, the demigods, to also appear along with Him, to assist Him in His pastimes. So before Lord Ram's advent here, many of the demigods, fathered in the wombs of many of the residents of this planet, in the different species, various sons, who were as powerful, resplendent and glorious as the fathers themselves. We heard that Hanuman was a son of Vayu, the wind god. And let me mention to you a list of the fathers of the other of the great monkeys and the bears. Brahma was a father of Jambavan. Indra was a father of Vali. Surya was a father of Sugriva. Brihaspati was a father of Tara. Kubera was a father of Gandhamadana. Varuna was a father of Sushena. Vishwakarma was a father of Nala. Vishwakarma, as you know, is the architect and the engineer of the demigods. And Nala was the main engineer of the bridge as it was made across the sea. Agni was the father of Nila. The Ashwini Kumaras were the fathers of Mainda and Dvivida. In this way, all the demigods produced many, many glorious sons in the monkey species. They were huge as mountains and powerful as anything. So Jambavan also, being the son or the expansion of none other than Brahma, was also a great devotee of the Lord. It is described in the Valmiki Ramayana itself at different portions. I'm just compiling the different things which are mentioned at different parts of the Ramayana. That Kashyap Muni, the son of Brahmaji, he had many wives. One of them was Vinata. From Vinata, he had two sons, Garuda and Arun. Kashyap Muni also had other wives from which he bore offspring who were of the different species. This is really astonishing, because from one wife came the locusts, from one wife came the snakes, from one wife came the birds, and so on. Now generally we see that, you know, when human beings come together, you only produce a human being. You don't have some different species produced. So it is subject matter for the scientists of this world who want to understand that the beings of the higher planets, they have their own, I don't know how you would call it, some DNA or RNA, whatever, something that, you know, makes it possible. So these are mysteries of this universe, which even on a material platform cannot be understood by the scientists. But in any case, Garuda is a great bird. And he was the son of Vinata and Kashyap Muni. His brother was Aruna, who was the charioteer of the sun god. Garuda, as we know, is the carrier of Lord Vishnu himself. So Arun had two sons called Jatayu and Sampati. And Jatayu and Sampati were very close to each other. And when Jatayu was very small, he and Sampati, they started in a mood of play, moving towards the sun, just as Hanuman had done in his childhood. As they neared the sun, the glow of the sun, the rays of the sun became very, very fierce. And Sampati, who was the older of the two, covered his younger brother Jatayu with his wings to protect him from the fierce rays of the sun. In the process, Jatayu was saved, but Sampati, his wings were burnt, and he fell to the ground, on the earth, on the Vindhya mountains. Meanwhile, Jatayu, he went to the to another portion in the forest, where later on he met Dasharatha Maharaj and became friends with him. Now we'll come to the part of Jatayu a little later. Now we'll come to Sampati. Sampati then resided on a lonely peak in the mountains. He was very distraught because his wings had been burnt and he was not in a position to fly. And one day, after many thousands of years after this particular incident, he suddenly saw a whole group of monkeys arrive there. And he thought, oh, I have been hungry for so long. Finally, Providence has sent me some food. And he was speaking this way to himself. And the monkeys who were below became very morose upon hearing that. Who was this group of monkeys and bears? You see, when Lord Ram had forged a pact of friendship with Sugriva, Sugriva had also elicited his support to kill Vali, which Ram dutifully did. Sugriva's purpose having been accomplished, now Lord Ram requested Sugriva to help him to find Sita Devi. So Sugriva sent out different batches of his monkey soldiers in different directions to search for Sita Devi. So one batch consisted of Angad, who was the son of Vali, and the crown prince. Sugriva was the king of Kishkindha. There were others also, like Hanuman and Jambavan, in that group. And this group was there, searching here and there. They arrived on the banks of the ocean at one point, and that is when Sampati spotted them. Already this group was very morose because they had not been able to spot Sita. And now they were thinking that if we have to go across the sea, none of us has the power to do so. What is going to happen? And just at that time, Sampati said this, "Ah, I have got my food now." So then Angad, in his deep disappointment, said, "Oh, how fortunate the great Jatayu was that he died in the service of Lord Ram even as he was killed by Ravan. And we are going to die uselessly for no purpose, even without having accomplished the will of the Lord." So Sampati heard this. He said, "What did you say? You said something about Jatayu? Jatayu is dead?" So they said, "Yes." And then they described the incident of Jatayu's being killed by Ravana. Sampati was overwhelmed with grief. He said, "Oh, I want to tell you that I am the elder brother of Jatayu. Please bring me down. I am unable to fly because my wings have been burnt." And then Sampati narrated this episode of how his wings had been burnt, and how his relationship with Jatayu was. He said, "Please take me to the sea. I want to offer my last rites for my departed brother." So Angad and the others, they carried him, they took him there. And then Sampati said, "I have been gifted with a very sharp vision." He was in the body of a vulture. Jatayu and Sampati were in the body of a vulture. As you know, a vulture has very sharp vision. Even though high in the sky, he can spot minute details upon the ground. So he said, "Even though I am very old now, but with my eyes, I can still see that far away beyond the sea is Lanka, which is being ruled by that evil Rakshasa Ravana. And I can see that within the confines of his palace, there is a grove of Ashoka trees where Lord Ram's wife Sita Devi is situated. She is over there. I can see her. Immediately life came back to the monkey army who were there. And they said, oh, Sita Devi is there. And then Sampati told them also many nice stories. And he told them, when I was injured by the glare of the sun and I fell to the ground, I somehow or other hobbled to an ashram nearby the Vindhya mountain, to the ashram of a sage called Nishakara. And he was a Trikalagya. He could see the past, present and future. While he healed me, he said that in future a time would come when some monkeys would come searching for Sita. And the time when I revealed the secret of Sita's location to them, my wings would come back to me. At that time I had been very morose and I was thinking of giving up my life. But hearing the words of the Rishi, I felt hope. Since that day I have waited 8,000 years and you have come after this long time. And immediately after having revealed the secret of Sita Devi's location, his wings came back. And just in order to test his newfound power again, he flew up into the sky and tested his wings. Meanwhile, now the monkey army, that small portion of it that had come here, now they were faced with the prospect of having to jump over the ocean. How to do that? That was 100 yojanas long. One yojana is 8 miles. So 800 miles long. So all of them were looking at each other. And Angad, who was the leader of the group, he asked everyone, so, is anyone ready to jump over the sea to go and see Sita Devi? Everyone kept mum with their heads down. No one could answer. They were all getting depressed that having come so far, we are still going to be failures and we will not be able to find Sita Devi. Then Angad said, all right, let each of us declare how much we can jump, how many yojanas we can jump. So one monkey, powerful monkey warrior came forward and said, my limit is only 10 yojanas, no more. Another came forward and said, my capacity is 20 yojanas. Another said 30, 40, 50 and so on. Finally, Jambavan, he came forward. He said, I can jump 90 yojanas. He said, now I am a very, very old man. In my younger days, I could have easily jumped this distance. In the days gone by, when the great king Bali Maharaj was performing his sacrifice, and the Lord came as Trivikram, Vamana Dev, and begged charity from him. And he expanded himself and he covered the whole universe. I circumambulated this Supreme Lord Trivikram completely clockwise. In other words, he went all over the universe. That was his power to jump and to move. At another place, Jambavan says, that I circled the earth 21 times. That was my power when I was a young person. But now I am very, very old. And therefore I do not have the capacity to jump this much across the sea. But my limit is 90 yojanas. And Angad, what about you? You are very powerful. So Angad said, after some thought, I can jump 100 yojanas, but I will not have the strength to jump back. So I will reach Lanka, but I will not be able to bring back any news of Sita, neither will I be able to carry her back. So again everyone became very morose. Then Jambavan suddenly perked up. I know the answer. The answer is sitting here. Who is that? That is Hanuman. Hanuman had been sitting aside very meekly, very humbly. He had not even announced what his capacity was. We discussed yesterday that Hanuman had been cursed by the Brahmanas when he was a child, that he would forget his strength, that he would regain his strength only after being reminded of it. So Jambavan knew about this curse, being a very wise old bear, son of Vrikshraj. So then he narrated to Hanuman his own story, Hanuman's story, and said, "Now Hanuman, you be ready to fly. You do not realize your own capacity. So rise, awake, and do the service of Lord Ram, our beloved master." So Hanuman was stirred and inspired by the words of Jambavan, and he rose, and suddenly he had this newfound strength in him, and he expanded his body and he reached up to the skies, and all the monkeys roared in jubilation, "Jai, Jai." And then Hanuman prepared for his flight, and what a flight that was. But that we can discuss on another occasion. So Jambavan was the one who played the key role in ensuring that Hanuman would realize his strength. And Hanuman became the great hero in that group eventually. So even as a bear in a bear body, Jambavan felt no hindrance in offering his devotional service to the Lord. Even in battle, he was very valiant, very brave, even though he was quite aged at that time. Both he and Sampati must have been very, very old. Sampati was older than Jatayu. And Jatayu was the same age as Dasharatha Maharaj. And as far as Jambavan was concerned, Jambavan had been there since the time of Vamanadev, Bali Maharaj. So we can only imagine how old he was. So this is another example of how, in the service of Lord Ramachandra, the kind of body we have is no handicap, is no botheration, it doesn't make a difference. Everyone in this world is entitled to serve the Supreme Lord. What to speak of animals, even birds? And who can be a better example of the Supreme Lord's devotees in the bird family than Jatayu, the younger brother of Sampati? When Jatayu was in the forest, he met Dasharatha Maharaj and struck up a great friendship with him. He was born on the same day, and at that time, when Sita Devi was being abducted by Ravana, Jatayu happened to be physically present there. He was sleeping and he was aroused by the cries of Sita Devi. And he saw what was happening and he rushed to Sita Devi's aid. He first preached to Ravana to act in a moral way and not act against the Shastras. But Ravana paid no heed. He behaved in his own usual arrogant manner. And then Jatayu began to admonish Ravana and said, "My dear Ravan, I am 60,000 years old. I have no longer any time for discussion anymore. If you do not release Sita Devi, you will have to fight with me." As an interesting aside, it also means that Dasharatha Maharaj was 60,000 years old at that time. And do you know how old Ram was when he went to the forest? How old was Lord Ramachandra when he went to the forest? 27 years old, that's right. And Dasharatha Maharaj had gone without a child for a long, long, long time. And that is why then he had to do the special Putra Kameshti sacrifice, where by virtue of which one can get a son. And then he got four sons. So Dasharatha Maharaj, when he departed from this world, he was around 60,000 years old, the same as Jatayu. So Jatayu said that if you do not release Sita Devi, then I will destroy you. Ravan laughed, and a very fierce battle began between the two. Even though Jatayu was very, very old, but he fought very valiantly. And with his talons, he tore off the armor from Ravana's body. He tore off his hair from his 10 heads. With his beak, he broke to bits the bow of Ravana. With his feet again, he crushed to pieces the chariot of Ravana. In this way, while Ravana was striking Jatayu and Jatayu was also attacking Ravana. It was a terrific battle, and Valmiki Muni says it was something reminiscent of the battle that took place between the two Mallivan mountains. The Ramayana describes, and the other Puranas too, that in the olden days the mountains used to have wings and they would fly, till Indradev actually cut off the wings with his Vajra. And when these two mountains, Mallivan mountains, had a battle one time, so this battle between Jatayu and Ravan was reminding everyone of that particular battle. And in this way the battle continued for a while. With his beak and talons again, Jatayu cut off, bit off the 10 arms of Ravan. But again the 10 arms came back. Finally Ravan killed Jatayu by cutting off his wings with his sword, and he lay there in a heap of blood. Ravan took Sita Devi and went off, because he was equipped with yogic powers, so he could fly in the air. And he took away Sita Devi and went away in the airways. Jatayu was laying there. Sita Devi, when she saw Jatayu's condition, she came and embraced him and shed tears and whispered something into his ears. And finally Ravana dragged her away and took her to Lanka. Meanwhile, Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman had been searching for Sita Devi everywhere. Finally they came to this point and found Jatayu lying there. Jatayu was very, very pleased to see Lord Ramachandra. But Lord Ramachandra was extremely aggrieved, very, very sad to see this. And he bemoaned. He said, "Oh, how unnecessarily you have had to give up your life and take so much trouble just for my sake." And Jatayu replied, "My dear Lord Ramachandra, had I been younger, I assure you there was no possibility of Sita Devi having been kidnapped by that vile and evil Ravana." Lord Ramachandra said to him, "I can immediately give you a youthful, ageless body." And Jatayu replied, "Of what use is a body of this world? As I am about to leave my body, you are here in front of me. What more can I ask for in my life? I have attained the perfection of my life because I am dying looking at your beautiful form in front of my eyes. I want nothing else from you." And at that time, Lord Ram replied to him, "All right, my dear Jatayu, so be it. You may depart from this body now, and I assure you entrance into my own abode in the spiritual world. Welcome, my dear Jatayu, to my home." And so Jatayu died a glorious death. In fact, Lord Ramachandra accorded him a special honor. He personally performed his last rites, because Jatayu was like his father, because he was Dasharatha Maharaj's close friend. They were contemporaries. Lord Ramachandra could not perform the funeral rites for his own father, Dasharatha Maharaj, because Dasharatha Maharaj passed away when Lord Ramachandra was already in the forest in his exile period. But he did so for Jatayu. So Jatayu was so fortunate that the Lord personally performed his last rites. We understand that Jatayu is a perfect embodiment of bravery in the Lord's service, because he was willing to give up his life, although there was no certainty of his victory over Ravan, but nevertheless he fought very bravely for the Lord's purpose. So Jatayu therefore is immortalized for this act of valor and bravery Because even as an old, old bird, he fought with the youthful and powerful Ravana. Apart what to speak of birds and animals, even Rakshasas can be devotees of the Lord. Ravana and his followers were all demoniac in their propensities, but his youngest brother, Vibhishan, was very saintly, even though he was born in a Rakshasa family. Actually, their father was Vishrava, who was a Brahmana. But somehow, they had acquired, these children, the sons had acquired this propensity. Vibhishan, by nature, was devoted to piety. And when he heard that Sita Devi had been abducted by Ravana, he was not at all happy. And when Hanuman came and created havoc in Lanka, and Ravan called for a meeting of all his commanders of the army and his associates, and to discuss what could be done in case the monkey army invaded Lanka, all the generals and associates of Ravana were boasting about the prowess of Ravana and his army Rakshasa soldiers. But Vibhishan struck a note of caution. And he said that, "My dear king, it is not proper for you to have stolen somebody else's wife, and especially the wife of Lord Ramachandra. You do not know and realize the consequences of this foolish act of yours. You will have to pay very dearly for this, and your whole kingdom will have to pay very dearly for this. There is still time, my dear brother. Please make peace with Lord Ram. Go and hand back Sita Devi to Lord Ram and beg his forgiveness." Lord Ramachandra and the other, Ravana and the other commanders were very angry upon hearing these words of Vibhishan. And Ravan began to admonish severely Vibhishan. And he said that, "If you were not my brother, you would not be alive even for 1 second more. It is better to have a poisonous snake in one's house or an enemy in one's house, because at least one knows that here are some dangerous elements and one may be careful. But you are more than an envious snake, and you are here posing as my well-wisher and my brother. It is my great misfortune today that you are here in my family." And so on and on and on. Vibhishan could not tolerate this. Finally, he said to Ravan that, "Good advice falls on deaf ears, it seems, on you. It seems you are bent upon the destruction of yourself and your whole race of Rakshasas. But if you are so determined, so be it." And immediately Vibhishan, along with four of his associates, left Lanka. All the Rakshasas were also endowed with mystic power. So they rose into the sky, and they went across the sea, they moved across, and came to the point where Lord Ramachandra and his army of monkeys and bears had gathered. And they were preparing to cross over the ocean very soon, so that they could reach Lanka. And as soon as the monkey guards saw these huge Rakshasas coming in from the sky, they raised an alarm. And all the Rakshasas started coming. "Who are these? Who are these people there? Kill them, kill them." And then Vibhishan came and paused. He stood in the air, some distance above Hanuman and all the other Vanaras. They all wanted to just jump up and pull him down and kill him immediately. But then, having captured them, they said, "No, let us go to Lord Ramachandra and discuss the matter of how we should deal with this person." On his part, Vibhishan had already introduced himself. He said, "Oh, my dear monkey soldiers, know me to be the younger half-brother of that great evil Rakshasa, Ravan. I have advised him many times to come and make peace with Lord Ram, but he will not listen. So I have left him. I have come here now to take refuge of that great soul, Lord Ram. Most of them did not believe him. So they went to Lord Ram, and Ram called for a meeting of the chief monkey commanders and asked for everyone's opinion. So what do you think? How should we deal with this Vibhishan? So one by one, each of them gave their opinion. Somebody said, he is definitely a spy. He should be killed on the spot. Somebody said, well, it looks like this is another of Ravana's ploys. These Rakshasas are very, very cunning and clever. I think we should call him here and keep a strict watch on him. And in this way, each of the monkeys was giving his own opinion. Ram was patiently hearing everybody's opinion. Finally, Hanuman spoke in favor of giving shelter to Vibhishan. Lord Ramachandra, having heard everyone's opinion, agreed with Hanuman. And then he spoke this famous verse, which our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas also quote many times. Bhaktivinoda Thakur especially has quoted many times. Sakrad eva prapanno yas tavasmiti chayachate abhayam sarvada tasmai dadam yetat pratam mama. Lord Ramachandra said, sakrad eva. Sakrad means even one time. Sakrad eva means certainly. Prapannaha, surrender. If someone comes to me and surrenders, and even one time he says, tava asmi iti yachate. Yachate means to petition or to pray or to beg. Tava asmi means I am yours. Then, abhayam sarvada tasmai dadami. I gift them a complete abhayam or fearlessness. And this is my vow. Vratam mama. Vrata means a vow. So Lord Ram was such a noble personality that he said, if anyone comes and takes shelter of me, I cannot forsake him. Even if he has come with evil intentions, but the fact that he has taken shelter of me means that I should give him shelter. In this way, Lord Ramachandra exhibited his magnanimity and gave complete shelter to Vibhishan. Vibhishan was very pleased with the decision of Lord Ramachandra, and he came and begged forgiveness for having been on the party of Ravan, and from then on he remained a very faithful assistant. And Vibhishan's presence was very valuable to Lord Ramachandra's army, because he knew everything about the enemy, about the Rakshasas. In fact, when Lord Ram crossed over the ocean on the bridge made of stones and reached the other side on Lanka, it was Vibhishan who introduced each of the leading Rakshasa warriors and generals to Sri Ram. This is such and such, this is Prahasta, this is Indrajit, this is Kumbhakarna, this is so and so. And this is his power, this is that person's power. And he also knew the various secrets of the mystical weapons that the Rakshasas used, and the mystical, the magical tricks that they conjured and performed. So Vibhishan's presence was invaluable in the battle. So he rendered this service in such an exemplary way at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. Eventually, when the battle was over and Ravana had been killed, Vibhishan was enthroned as the king of Lanka by Lord Ramachandra personally. And then in the Pushpak Viman, they all went back to Ayodhya. The Pushpak Viman originally belonged to Kuber, but had been confiscated from him, stolen from him by Ravan, his half-brother. And now in that same Pushpak Viman, Lord Ramachandra, Sita, Devi, Lakshman, all the soldiers, they flew from Lanka to Ayodhya. It is described that although it was just one vehicle, but all the soldiers of the monkey army who have been revived by the grace of Lord Ram, they fitted into this vehicle and there was place for everyone. And there was no crowding. We may imagine that there were so many millions of monkeys crowding into one ship. It must have been so crowded, like in our Mangal Arati in the morning. But everyone had sufficient space to comfortably sit and admire the scenery below as the Pushpak Viman was flying through the sky. After Sri Ram had been installed on the throne and he began his rule, he was giving gifts to everyone of his faithful companions and devotees. To each of the monkeys he gave valuable gifts. And to Vibhishan, he gave a very special gift. What is that gift? Does anybody know? He gave a deity of Lord Vishnu, which had been worshipped in his family from the time of King Ikshvaku for many, many years. And there is a great history associated with that. We will not narrate it at this time. And this deity had been also personally worshipped there, and this was gifted by the Lord to Vibhishan. He said, you may worship this. So Vibhishan was very happy. And after all the ceremonies were over in Ayodhya, then he flew back to Lanka carrying the deity with him. Now there are two versions of what happened thereafter. This reminds us of the story of how Govardhan came to be here in Braja, right? It was carried here, and the great sage, I think it was, who was the sage? Pulastya. Pulastya had to keep it down. He had to answer the call of nature. So there is a similar story about Vibhishan too, that he had to answer the call of nature. Lord Ram had already told him that if he puts down the deity at any point on the earth, the deity would not move from that place. So Vibhishan came, he had to answer the call of nature, and he put the deity down, and there was a Brahmana boy close by. He asked him to hold it and warned him, don't put the deity on the ground. And he went and did his business and came back, and he found that the deity was on the ground and the Brahmana boy had disappeared. And now he was furious, but there was nothing he could do. And then the Lord replied, my dear Vibhishan, do not worry, it is my desire to be here on the banks of the Kaveri River in this most beautiful setting. But know for certain that I will look towards you always. And this deity is none other than the deity of Lord Ranganath, who is presently there even today in the place called Sri Rangam in Tamil Nadu in South India. How many of you have been to Sri Rangam and seen this deity? Very huge deity, one of the biggest deities of the Lord, and he is in a reclining posture. He is lying with his on his elbow and his palm is supporting his face. And there is also a beautiful story about how the deity came to be rising on his face. Originally he was sleeping and then he came because one of the alvars sang poems. Oh Lord, are you not seeing that your devotees are leaving? And the Lord woke up to see his devotees leaving. So such are the wonderful stories of the alvars. So anyway, so Lord Ranganath resides there, and normally deities face the east, except for important deities like Krishna Balaram, which faces the south. And also Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyam Sundar and Shri Shri Gaur Nithai have very distinguished company. The Lord Ranganath in Sri Rangam also faces south, especially towards Lanka, just to favor his devotee. And it is said that at certain periods it is Vibhishan who comes and performs the arati for the Lord. Another version of the story is that a king of that region had been already blessed. It was predicted that the deity would be there, because when he had gone for the coronation of Lord Ram, he saw this beautiful deity and he had prayed very fervently that this deity should come to his kingdom and that he wanted to serve this deity. And so, by the will of the Lord agreed, and then a grand festival was performed over there, a Brahmotsavam, and Lord Ranganath resided there by the will of Vibhishan also. That is another story that is sometimes said. So anyway, Vibhishan is another example of a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. There are many, many such examples. We see also the story of the Nishada king. Not the king, but the leader of the Nishadas, a Shudra tribe in the forest, whose name was Guha. And he was also a great devotee of Lord Ram. When Lord Ram departed from Ayodhya on exile, this was his first halt. He came to a place called Shringavedpura on the banks of the Ganges, and at the place of Guha he stayed. He slept under a tree, and that was the place where Lakshman and Guha also, along with Sumantra, guarded him all night. Guha was very faithful. He served Lord Ram, and he also escorted them by boat further downstream to another point from where Lord Ram went further on and asked Guha to come back. It's interesting that from that night on, Lakshman was always engaged in guarding Sita Ram. One time after Ram's coronation, when Ram was ruling, Lakshman was also sitting on the throne nearby, and in front of everyone he yawned very loudly. Now this was some kind of breach of etiquette, because it's not very polite in the assembly of the king, sitting next to him, and you yawn so, you know, clearly, and everyone was surprised. And then Lord Ram revealed a secret, that Lakshman had not slept in 14 years and now he was feeling a little sleepy.
Before that, he would stay awake to guard Lord Ram, starting from this night when he spent the shelter of Guha. Guha, although from a so-called low-born tribe, he served and loved Ram. He was also a great devotee.
So we can see that in every status of life, amongst the human beings, from the so-called low-born to the brahmanas, from the animals, the birds, the rakshasas, you have examples of great devotees of the Lord. Some of the brahmanas in the Dandakaranya forest, the sages, they were so attracted to the bodily beauty of Sri Ramachandra that they desired to worship him in the madhurya or the shringar ras. And Lord Ramachandra told them that in this life it is not possible. Next avatar, when I come, I will give you an opportunity to fulfill your desires. So some of these sages, rishis from Dandakaranya, became gopis in the Krishna Leela. In Krishna Leela, there are two kinds of gopis. The Nitya Siddha gopis, who came from the spiritual world with Krishna. And there are also the Sadhana Siddha gopis, who came to the position of participating in Krishna's pastimes as gopis by the dint of their previous devotional service. Amongst the Sadhana Siddhas, there are various categories, and one of them are the Rishichari gopis. Rishichari means those who follow in the footsteps of the rishis. The rishis of Dandakaranya forest. So they were given an opportunity to become gopis. So in this way, the glories of Lord Ramachandra are sung in the Ramayana. And by glorifying Lord Ramachandra's devotees, who appear in such diverse kinds of bodies, we understand how universal is the process of devotional service. There is no restriction, no division according to bodily division or condition. Devotional service is transcendental. It is universal. Shri Sita Ram ki jai, Shri Ramachandra Bhagavan ki jai. So I think we'll stop here for any questions or comments. The question is that what is the difference between real surrender and not real surrender? Well, that is a big topic. There are many ways to approach, but let's put it very simply. Surrender means to have no other refuge. Mam ekam sharanam vraja, that we should have no other shelter. So Vibhishan also came. Tava asmi, I am yours. So from the moment we say, I am yours, my Lord, from that day onwards, the Lord will give us fearlessness. So it's a question of the intensity with which we say, I am yours. Tava asmi. Our surrender is dependent on the intensity of our proclaiming this truth, or of our realizing this truth, that we belong to Krishna, we are Krishna's. Any other question or comment? Yes. Yes. Ravana, although was born in a Brahmana family, how did he become such a demoniac person? Well, of course, we know Ravana's story from the past, that they are actually Ravana Kumbhakarna in Treta Yuga and Hiranyaksha Hiranyakashipu in Satya Yuga and Shishupala Dantavakra in Dwapar Yuga. They are basically Jay and Vijay from Vaikuntha, and the Lord has this mission for them in the material world to play the role of demons inimical to the Lord, so that the Lord may fulfill his desires for chivalry, chivalrous activities of fighting. So therefore, the Lord's own eternal associates have come and are playing this role of Ravana. Ravana was, he represents the extreme in everything that is negative and undesirable in this world. Therefore, the characteristics of negativity that we had were in the extreme. So it's an example for us that these are things that we should strictly avoid. It's a lesson also that if a human being follows in the path of footsteps of Ravana, what destination, what fate awaits him. So it's also another lesson that one may be born in a Brahmana family, but that doesn't necessarily mean one will be a Brahmana by quality. And the greatest example is Ravana. Not only was he born in a Brahmana family, but he was very learned in the Shastras. If you read some of his dialogues in the Valmiki Ramayana, it's astounding. The way he speaks more than any other learned person. He knows all the Shastras. But he just knows the Shastras by his intellect. But there is no realization because his heart is full of lust and greed and anger and envy and pride and illusion. Yes. Yes. Yes, very old. The question is that Jambavan was already old at the time of Lord Ram, and he was also the father-in-law of Lord Krishna in Dwapar, so he must have been really old. That is a fact. Yes, he had a very young time. Yes, that is also true. What can I say? These are all extraordinary personalities.
Ram Lila, Jambavan was born. Lady Janet, Jambavan married
Yes, there are so many parallels between Ram Leela and Krishna Leela, just as there are between Gaur Leela and Krishna Leela. So Jai Vijay Prabhu is asking about who Jambavati was in Ram Leela. I am not aware. If somebody has the answer, I do not remember. I have not come across this equivalent. We will have to do some research to see. We can check, maybe. We can see. Brahmotsav, yes. 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 King, the Chola king.
And then once a year, for the day of the year, he can come to Raghunandan.
Do the worship. At his devotee. Thank you very much for that comment. Yes. Originally, Brahma was blessed with this deity by the Lord himself. And it was in Brahmaloka for a long, long, long time. And it was Ikshvaku who founded Ayodhya. So, the kings, the solar dynasty coming from Ikshvaku, that's Ramachandra, is in that dynasty. So, till the time of Lord Ramachandra, the deity was being worshipped from Ikshvaku's time. So, we can imagine for how long, how many years the deity was worshipped there. Yes, Ranganath is a very, very special deity. Very special. Thank you. Yes. Who is Maya Sita? It's a lady called Vedavati. Vedavati is mentioned in the Valmiki Ramayana also. She was accosted by Ravana. She was a yogini. She was an ascetic living alone. She was young and very beautiful, but she was an ascetic. And Ravana, when he saw her beauty, he was attracted and he attempted to molest her. He caught hold of her hair, but by her yogic power, just with her hands, she cut off her hair. So Ravana was left holding the hair. And then she immolated herself and she cursed Ravana that because you have dared to attempt to molest a lady like this, your destruction shall come. I shall be the cause of your destruction in the future. So she came. Is that Sita, Maya Sita? That is a story that is told. Of course, Ravana had many, many more curses. Some other time we can talk about that. He was sufficiently cursed by many, many personalities. And the sum total of all these curses, you know, was that resulted into the destruction of Ravana. Any other? Yes. Human. Jambavati was human form. You see, these are special beings who can keep change forms, they can live in. Even when Sugriva and Hanuman first appeared before Lord Ram and Lakshman in the Kishkindha forest, they took the form of a human. They came as human beings because they didn't know who were this Ram, who is this Ram and Lakshman. They were not sure whether they were friends or enemies. They came as human beings. And they had all been empowered with all the yogic powers, so they could change their form at will, Hanuman especially. So also with Jambavan. Did they speak Sanskrit? It appears so. Especially Hanuman. When Hanuman first meets Lord Ram as a human being, and Lord Ramachandra is so impressed with the speech of Hanuman, because Hanuman speaks a lot. And then Lord Ram speaks aside to Lakshman that this is not an ordinary person. Although he has spoken a lot, his grammar, his syntax, his vocabulary, his manner of speaking is perfect. The words he has chosen, each are perfect. You could not find a better word to express what he wanted to say. His manner of speaking is neither too loud nor too soft. He is very sweet spoken. He knows how to modulate his voice. He knows what emotions go. The expressions on his face and the manner of his speaking all indicate him to be an extremely learned personality. So at that time it appears they were speaking Sanskrit language. And Hanuman, of course, had been personally trained by the sun god Vivaswan. He had been blessed also at the time of his birth, as we discussed yesterday. And after he was born, do you know how Hanuman used to get trained? How did he get trained from the sun god? He did not go to school, but every time the sun rose, he would follow the sun till the sun set. From the mountain where the sun would rise to the mountain where it would set, he would follow the sun right to the course, and all the time by facing the sun, he would get instructions from the sun. And in this way, he would learn all his wisdom and knowledge. So he became a great pandit, so very, very scholarly. Seven births, yes. Yes. Ah. Tomorrow or tonight? Tonight and tomorrow, yes, yes. Okay, thank you very much. Tomorrow is the Shobha Yatra. So we request all the devotees to participate, and you can spread the word to the other devotees. They can bring offerings, and the offerings can be offered inside the MVT garden. And you can participate all the way in the procession. And also tomorrow, therefore, we will have no evening katha. We will have the evening katha day after tomorrow. Thank you very much. Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai, Shri La Prabhupada Ki Jai.